everyone. Welcome to the Christian Marketeers Podcast, where we impart, influence, inspire, and impact your nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I am your host, Shawnee Pancasek, and I am so excited for today's conversation. We decided to go where, you know, people have said, don't go there. But I have an expert who is, you know, renowned in this topic that I know is going to help change your outlook when it comes to this incredible tool that can grow your kingdom impact. You guessed it. Today we're going to talk about AI. And I want you to open your mind and remove all those barriers of what AI is going to do to your life, you know, in a harmful way. And instead, look at it in a way of abundance and all that God has for you in Kingdom Impact. So let me grab my co-host for the day, Sean Q. Thank you so much, Sean.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Shawnee, and everyone listening. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Yeah, I am so excited. I could not think of a better person to bring on for this conversation. If you have taught me and Carrie so much about AI and, you know, just the little time we've been together. And so for those of our listeners that don't know you, which, you know, I'm pretty sure is pretty hard, but why don't you tell them who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Sean Q. I am a business consultant and coach, specifically with an AI angle. I'm the founder of the AI Roundtable, which is a community that comes together to learn all things AI. And it's pretty incredible when we begin to see people leverage this tool to do incredibly good work. I see a lot of churches that are using this. I see a lot of nonprofits that are using this. I see a lot of Christian entrepreneurs and kingdom business owners using this tool. And just like any tool, you can use the tool to do really, really good things, or you can use the tool to do other things. And my job is to empower people to fully understand it so they can use it wisely.
Yes, and you definitely do that very well. All right, so why don't we break down, what is AI? For those who are kind of living under a rock and they're like, what is this, you know, weird thing? What is AI?
Great question. Okay, so let's kind of take a little step back, because a lot of people are seeing AI in every single post that they see on social media. They're just seeing it everywhere. The truth is, AI isn't something that just came about, you know, in the last year. It's been around for the last 60 years. In 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, people were having these conversations about what's possible in the future. If you remember, you know, going way back when, you had the Jetsons, and they were like, okay, we're going to have jetpacks, and we're going to have this robot that's going to help us cook food, and it, like, this cartoon that was kind of envisioning what the future could be. And so there was these conversations that were happening with all of these learning experts, these engineers. Computer mechanics were just starting to show up in the 50s and 60s, and so they were beginning to explore, what if we had this supercomputer? What if this computer could not just do, you know, small tasks like 2 + 2 = 4, but what if it could do like a lot of bigger things for us? And what happened was, after about 20 years of just so much money from corporations going into computers, what happened was around early 1980s, there was a stagnant. And it was in the 90s where the internet really became a big thing, and a lot more money started getting poured in, because, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We could connect with each other. How many of you know, as you're listening to this, the internet has been wonderful. Let's talk about churches and nonprofits. They're able to get their message out into the world in a much easier way. There are places that would never hear their message that are now getting access to that message because of the internet, because of streaming, because of podcasts, because of video content. And so, because of social media, we're able to get our message across. And how many of you know that there are some challenges with social media, like doom scrolling and comparing yourself and higher levels of attention deficit? And so, you know, we have shorter attention spans because of social media. And so there are some really good things that have come from it, and there are some dangers that we have to mitigate for ourselves. I have she's not a newborn anymore. She's 8 months. But as we're like raising her, we're having conversations about how much screen time are we going to give her? How much TV time are we going to give her? And so, of course, there are challenges. It's our job, just like with social media or the internet, to be wise about how we use the tool. So then what happened was, the 90s, there was this big internet boom of or this big boom of internet access. If you remember AOL, there was like the crazy sounds for like 5 minutes before you could actually do anything. And it was like this modem starting and turning on. And now I could literally like just pull up my phone. I could pull up my watch. I'm not wearing it right now, but my watch, and just click a button. I'm online. And so what's happened is the internet has continued to get better and better and more accessible to people. Well, about 20 years ago, there was a really big kind of combustion in the AI space, where they began to take a look at, well, what if these computers could do more than just connect us? What if it could create for us? And what happened was, with social media, they began to leverage something called an algorithm. How many of you have heard that term, right? There's a social media algorithm that determines what you see on your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter. When I log into Facebook, when you log into any type of platform, even Spotify or Apple Podcasts, there is an algorithm that is taking a look at what you're interested in based off of your past behavior, and it starts showing you content that it thinks might be interesting to you. You're not having to weed through, it's making a decision for you. Now what's happened is, instead of just these big tech companies having access to AI through their algorithm, we now have access to not just see content, but to create content. So now there are things like ChatGPT, there are things like Magi, there are things like Jasper, there are things, all of these different AI platforms. I think last month, 3,000 new AI platforms emerged. Just like, it's wild, it's growing at an exponential rate. And so there's all of these AI things that these tools that we now have access to not just have things curated for us, but for us to create things. So with ChatGPT, I'll give you a little bit of an example. I was with my dad, and he's a manager at this big auto auction, general manager, and he was writing an email, and he was having a hard time figuring out what to include in that email, how to phrase it, how to word it. So I told him, okay, there's this really cool tool. Let's go to ChatGPT, and let's put the email you currently have and ask it, hey, can you word this in a more friendly way? Can you word this to include this information? Can you make sure it ends, you know, on a positive note? And so he put it in, and in a matter of seconds, it rewrote the email to be a perfect fit for what he wanted. So instead of my dad having to spend hours in front of a computer figuring out the right ways to term something, it happened in 2 seconds. He sent the email out, and now he has even more time to do other things in his life. And I think that's a really key principle of AI, is that AI doesn't replace you, but it allows you to be more human. It allows you to have more time to do the things you want to do. Where traditionally we'd have to spend hours behind a computer writing emails or putting together social media content or, you know, doing certain things that are task oriented, we do that in seconds and minutes now, which means we have a ton of time available. I'm curious, where do you want that time to go? What do you want to be doing instead of having to be behind a computer to, you know, type emails? What are all the other things that you now have access to do? So if you think about AI, AI is simply a tool that allows you to create content now, because the way that it works on like a super nerdy level is there's all of these different data points, right? So it has access to the internet, all of these data points. You ask it something, and then it scans the data points, it scans the internet to provide the best answer for you. And so that's like at a very base level, essentially what it does is you tell it what to do, and then it gives you a response.
I love that, because I have done that with emails. I have put them through to make them, you know, and it's a tool that has actually helped for us, help our donor impact, you know, get to more of those points that would actually get someone to donate, rather than that vague email of, hey, this is not my nonprofit, this is what we do, you know, and it speaks more to who your target market is, and does it in a way that is really well done. I mean, and that's what I want people to do, is embrace that more. Rather than be so scared and be like, but okay, so let's talk about some of what the crazy things I've heard about AI. So I have heard that AI wants to take over our life. I have heard that AI is going to, you know, end the world as we know it. I have heard that AI is going to, you know, with the copyright and the plagiarism, that we're just taking other people's content and we're stealing it so that we profit off of those that are rich. And, you know, that's not ethical. So the ethics of AI. So with some of those, what would you say to those people?
Yeah, well, let's handle or like work through each one individually. Let's talk about the very last one, the most recent one you said, which is, well, we're just stealing from other people's content and profiting off of other people's work. Here's what's really important to recognize with AI is AI won't give you a 10 out of 10. Why? Because it doesn't know you. You're still a necessary ingredient to moving something from what it gives you to being a 10 out of 10. Now, with the right prompts and with the right, what I call seasoning of an AI chat, what's going to happen is it'll give you maybe at best a 7 out of 10, but you are still required to take it to that 10 out of 10. So I actually don't recommend anyone put something in ChatGPT and then just immediately publish it without first having a human look at it and saying, okay, how can I be more strategic about this? How can I make this more aligned with me? I have a really hard time personally starting from a blank page, like the blank page that just has that like little line thing that's like clicking over and over and over waiting for you to type something. I have a hard time doing that, but you give me something, I can make it better. And I have an easier time starting with something than starting from scratch. That's what AI can do right now, is it gives you without the right prompts and the right seasoning, it'll give you maybe a 2 or 3 out of 10, which gives you something to start with, or with the right prompts, the right strategy, gives you a 7 out of 10, which just takes you even further and allows you to take it to that 10 out of 10, reducing a lot of the workload for you. So is it stealing people's stuff? No. Here's the truth. We are inspired by so many things. There's an incredible book called Steal Like an Artist. And essentially that book says the best art has been inspired by the best art. And so my work is inspired by some of the best things I see out there that I'm inspired by. If you take a look at like George Lucas, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. We were just talking about Yoda, and I have a Mandalorian Lego thing right there. And George Lucas ripped off or stole from Japanese philosophy, specifically samurais. Jedi were samurais, but he put his own spin on it. Instead of them being Japanese, they were space wizards. Instead of them having samurai swords, they had lightsabers. And so there's a twist on it, and he was inspired by something that already exists. We are incredible co-creators. And what that means is we can take a look at something and make it even better. We've been given this incredible gift of imagination. In other words, we can see an empty lot, but really see a park there, or really see a restaurant there, or really see a building there with our imagination. And now we can go build that thing. And so here's what's incredible for you. You get something you can start with, and then you can build on top of it. You can add your own twist. You can continue to make it even better. Something else to recognize is that the things that have worked in the past still work now. The frameworks, the strategies, the systems that worked in the past work now. They just work faster. So whenever I'm, for example, writing copy, what I'll typically do is I'll say, or a proposal. I know I've worked with a couple of nonprofits. I know we're looking for more donations. I'll say, okay, let's take a look at our most successful donation email campaign. And then we give it to the AI and we say, hey, here's our most successful thing. Can you replicate this, but for this topic or for this theme? And now what's happening is it's replicating our most successful stuff because it worked in the past. So now we want it to work better. It's just happening faster. Instead of me having to, like I said, spend hours in front of a computer rewriting things, the AI is doing it for me. So I hope that helps kind of alleviate some of the stress of like, are we stealing people's stuff? Not at all. You're being inspired by other people's stuff, and you're making it, you're adding your own twist so that it's you. You're starting from there, but you're adding you into it.
Yeah, and that one thing about AI, I mean, I often see when I put stuff into ChatGPT, sometimes it doesn't have emotion, and I can add the emotion to it to get to the, you know, the heart of the issue that I'm trying to communicate. And so, like Sean said, you're still needed, you know. If you struggle with writing, which I hated writing in school and did not want to go to English class, it helps you put some ideas in there, and it can give you ideas for fun. I mean, your possibilities are endless, but just a few aspects, it can give you ideas for fundraising. You can put your questions in there of what's going wrong in your nonprofit, and it can give you some solutions of how to fix things.
Here's something else also that's really cool, specifically with any type of AI platform that has access to the internet. So a paid version of ChatGPT has it. Some of the other platforms I prefer over ChatGPT have it as well. But essentially what you can do, and what I've done for other companies and organizations, is here are my top three competitors, or here are three people doing incredible work in this space. Can you give me a SWOT analysis, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and I don't remember what the T stands for, but can you give me a SWOT analysis of where their strengths are and what our strengths are? And then what we've done is we've said, okay, these are our strengths. Let's hone in and really lean into these, because this is what we do that nobody else can do elsewhere. Typically, a SWOT analysis from a high, you know, a professional consultant will cost anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 to $100,000. Now we get something from ChatGPT relatively free in a matter of seconds, which is pretty amazing. So there are so many use cases of how a nonprofit can use or how a business can use these AI platforms. Here's my recommendation, is simply be informed. The more informed you are, the better decisions you can make. If you are uninformed about something, you're living in a space of fear. You're living in a space of uncertainty. And I don't believe we've been called to live in a space of fear. I don't believe we've been called to live in a space of uncertainty. I believe that we have this incredible opportunity to be informed, to learn, to grow, and then to say, okay, how can I best use this to do the work I'm called to do?
I agree. All right, we're actually going to take a commercial break and come right back. And we're going to talk about the types of AI that Sean has uncovered that is going to help you in your speaking, your writing, your video. There is so many amazing possibilities to what AI can do to help lighten your workload. So I'm excited to dive into that conversation when we come back with more from my friend Sean Q.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Life Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Life Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Life Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Christian Marketeers Podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. We have been talking about the incredible tool that has been given to us, I believe by God, AI, to help enhance and impact your nonprofit. And Sean has given so many ideas and ways for you to use AI as a nonprofit leader. And we've been talking about the myths you guys have been bringing up. I consider them to be myths, and I know Sean does as well, of why not to use AI. So, Sean, back in. Okay, so nonprofit leaders feel that, you know, AI is going to take over their lives. It's going to take over their home. You know, we have our Alexa devices. You know, I have my Apple devices that, you know, run things. I have my Amazon TV that manages so much. You know, is AI going to like shut down our house, like that news article said where that guy, you know, literally lost everything? I don't believe that. I know you don't. So what can we do with that? You know, what does that miss?
Yeah, so I think there I think in order to have a very wise approach to any tool, we have to know the dangers of the tool as well. Take a look at any type of firearm. It can do really good things. It can do really bad things. Take a look at any type of drill. It can do good things. It can do bad things. Take a look at a boat or a car. It's a tool, and our job is to mitigate and regulate as much of it as possible so that it doesn't do the damage that it can do. And so are there dangers to AI? If you are super uninformed about it, if you don't know how to use it, if you don't know the difference between AI and real life, then absolutely there are some real dangers out there. I'll give you an example. There is an AI that can replicate voices. And there is a there was a person who has since been arrested who took somebody's voice, a 17-year-old girl's voice, and replicated it, called the girl's mom and said, "Hey, I'm at a job interview and I forgot my social security number. Can you tell me what it is?" I've been in that situation where I've called my mom as a teenager, like, "What's my social again?" Or what's, like, and she'll tell me. The way that we've identified what's true or not is through voice. And if it sounds like your daughter, you're going to give her her social. And so the person took the social and created all these loans and took out all this money and just did all these fraudulent things. And they didn't realize until like 2 weeks later what had happened when they started getting all these bills and all these like notifications and all these calls. So if we're uninformed about what AI can do, then what's going to happen is we'll be wandering through all these potential traps without a light, without being able to really see, "Oh no, that's a trap. That's actually not my daughter." And so what I recommend for people to do is recognize, sure, there are dangers, but just like any tools, you have to be informed about it. And you have to recognize so that you can plan for it. You can preempt it. There are dangers of living in Tennessee because there are tornadoes. You're still going to live in Tennessee and you're going to protect yourself by having shelters. You're going to have a plan of action. There's dangers of living anywhere, but that's an example. So making sure that you recognize you have the duty to create a plan of action with danger that is potential, right? It's there. And to be as informed as possible, it's super key to lean in. The other thing I see is that, again, it's a tool, and whether or not it's going to take over our lives or take over our world, I mean, we walk around with a computer. Literally, it has taken over our lives in a sense of it's accessible and it follows us everywhere. And yet, I can call my mom anytime I want. I don't have to write a letter and hope somebody on, you know, can get it to her. But I can call her at any moment, at any time. I can call someone in Ukraine. I can call someone in the UK. I can call someone in Australia that would typically take months to communicate with them without the technology we have today. So has it taken over our lives? Sure. But not in any like negative way. We use these tools to support the lifestyle we want. As far as it kind of being the destruction of the world and leading to the end of the world, here's what I believe. I believe we've been called to bring a little bit of heaven to earth, to literally let heaven and earth collide. And so I am a walking representation, and I believe everybody should be a walking representation of what heaven could be like. And that as I represent that, what happens is our world actually gets more peaceful. It gets better. It becomes more joyful to be around people and easier to live in because we're bringing heaven, a place where there is no lack, where there is all sufficiency, to earth, where there is oftentimes lack, where there is oftentimes not enough, there's insufficiency. And so let me give a little bit of a couple of examples that this is actually happening, that heaven and earth are colliding as we begin to represent it. Life expectancy is up. The world average was 30 years. Now it's around 72 years. So literally we're living twice as long as we've ever lived before. Hunger and famine were a normal part of 99% of the world's living arrangements. Now, it's 1% of people living in extreme poverty and hunger. Are there people still living there? Absolutely. And yet, it's dramatically reduced. The average human has access to over 2,500 calories a day, which is more than enough than what we need to be sufficient in our body. Death has fallen dramatically. If you take a look at what was the leading cause of death 1,000 years ago, it was war, it was famine, it was accidents. People would not go outside because they'd be afraid of falling and tripping. Now we like take night, evening strolls outside because there are lights and electricity that allows us to see the world. And so deaths are down, which is pretty incredible. We're living longer. Work has decreased. Now, for some of you business owners, you're probably like, I'm working 60 hours still. The average person, specifically the average woman, about 1,000 years ago, would spend about 120 hours a week on just household household duties, right? Wild. And now we spend about 15 hours a week on household duties. I literally put clothes in a machine and walk away while the tool does the job for me. So if we think about abundance and we think about how much more access we have to life, to freedom, I mean, democracy and freedom, 2/3 of the world live in a free or relatively free society, whereas before it was about 5%. About 500 years ago. Access to knowledge. We have, like, children are learning more. Women are learning more as they bridge the gap between what men were able to learn and what women can learn now, which is amazing, right? Everybody should have access to education. And take a gander 500 years ago, only men would have access to education. And even men were limited by the trade they were in. They couldn't learn anything else but by what their family was a good craftsman in. So, we have access to so much, to life, to food, to freedom, to technology. And this, in my opinion, is us having access to that heaven and earth collision, to where I'm an ambassador of abundance. I'm an ambassador of peace and of joy. And the natural result of that is that we live longer. We have better lives. We have greater quality of lives. And here's what's really cool. There are some problems that we haven't been able to solve. Climate crisis problems, plastic in the ocean problems, some challenges when it comes to geopolitical issues. And now we're able to use AI. There's an AI that just created a new bacteria that can go eat plastic in the ocean. And so all of that plastic, if you take a look, like Google plastic in the ocean, it's like miles and miles and miles and miles long of all of our garbage that's there, that's killing animals, that's killing our ecosystem, that's making it just a horrible thing. And now we have access because of an AI that gave us the solution for it. And so AI is helping us continue to expand what's possible in our lives and on this side of life.
Which is so, so amazing, because, you know, it's not this evil thing that people have made it out to be. I believe AI is here to help Kingdom Impact, so more people to be helped. You know, many of our nonprofit leaders help with fighting human trafficking and education and, you know, orphans in orphanages and, you know, in Uganda and Ghana and all those places. This tool is going to help them be able to impact more. So when we look at that, what can they, like, how do they get started with AI? What do you recommend for someone that is a newbie and knows nothing and just knows how to put ChatGPT into the search bar? You are excellent at training AI, and we'll share that at the end of how they can work with you. But what does that look like to, like, get them ready for doing?
Yeah. So here's what I recommend is, there's a couple of different things. So I'm going to speak first to the more successful companies and nonprofits, the larger companies that have revenue coming in. Here's my recommendation for you is hire a chief of AI officer. I believe every single company needs a director of AI or a CEO AI, chief of artificial intelligence, because this thing is not going anywhere. It is hyper integrating at a rapid scale into everything we do. I was just on Canva, and about 2 months ago, Canva introduced AI. I was just on Google Docs. Google has introduced their AI. AI is going literally to integrate into everything we do. And the companies and the nonprofits that really lean in, that take this seriously, that invest in this tool, are going to be the ones that also ride that accelerated wave of increased profit, increased money coming in, increased donations, et cetera. Now, for those of you who are just getting started, what I recommend people do is take a look at all of the tasks you're currently doing in your nonprofit or your business, you know, and make a list, right? I check emails, I write emails back, I send proposals, I create content for social media, I create graphics on Canva, I record video content, I go live, you know, I have staff meetings, I, you know, all the different things. I almost guarantee that there's an AI that can help you do those things faster or more efficiently or better for every single one of those. I'll give you an example. There is an email AI platform called Email Triager. And what this does is it automatically drafts an email response to every email I receive. I hate email. Personally, I do not like email. I would much prefer someone send me a message on like Facebook or something. I don't like email. And it probably comes from my corporate days of when I used to work in a corporate job and hating my email. And now that I run my own business, I don't want to do anything with email. But there's an email AI that respond that creates a draft of a response for every single email I receive. So when I receive an email, I also see the potential response I could just press send to. Or I can go in and say, oh, you know what? I want to shift this a little bit. Let me say this at the start. And then press send. So I actually don't have to write any emails. My AI does it for me. Let's say you have staff meetings. I have staff meetings as well. I have an AI that hops on Zoom with me. Some people use Otter. Some people use Fireflies. I have an AI that I can interact with, which is really cool. And what I do is I'll tell the AI while I'm on Zoom, hey, AI, can you remind me about what Dan just mentioned in the staff meeting that I have to get done in a week, and it'll automatically add it to my calendar. And so now I have this assistant that is supporting my efforts in that staff meeting. It'll also create a summary of everything we talked about for us and send it to all of the people in that meeting automatically. It'll summarize everything. It'll highlight like important dates, important notes. You know, here's like the headlines of what you discussed. It'll create the agenda for staff meetings. Let's take a look at video content. I am a believer in long form content. So I create long pieces of content, about an hour long, and then I give it to my AI, and my AI creates 15 second snippets, 60 second snippets. It creates quote graphics. It creates blog articles. It creates literally all of the repurposed content from it. And what happens is I just upload the video that I just created, and it does all of that on auto, which is really incredible and powerful. And so I am able to do all of that work, which would typically take someone about 40 hours in about 90 minutes, which is wild. And so literally make a list of everything you do in your business. I guarantee there's an AI that can support you, that can assist you. So that's my very first recommendation, is just make that list. And then Google AI to help me with my staff meetings. Like, that's how I got started. Now we have a, here's one of my recommendations for people who are like stepping into the space. If you don't want to like have support around it, just the only thing to make sure of when you're using AI is to check the, like read the terms and conditions, read the privacy policies. Here's why. Something people don't know about ChatGPT is that ChatGPT saves your input. In other words, if I say, hey, ChatGPT, here's, you know, information about my business, here's my framework, here's, you know, how I help my clients, and I share that with ChatGPT, ChatGPT saves that for their data set. So someone else could ask the right prompt, or give the right prompt, or give the right question, and get that data you just gave it. And so if you're sharing proprietary information, you know, intellectual property, trade secrets, anything like that, don't share it with ChatGPT. Instead, share it with something that's built on their API. I use a platform called Magi, M-A-G-A-I. Magi, like the Magi that met Jesus when he was born. So Magi. And here's why. Magi is built on top of ChatGPT. And it's, so you can use GPT 3.5, you can use GPT 4, but it also has an additional AI learning model. So there's GPT, but then there's something called Klaus. And Klaus is another AI kind of data set, if you will. What's powerful about Magi is it doesn't save your information. it moderates it for 30 days just to make sure it's not like hate speech or misinformation or anything like that, but it doesn't save it. So somebody can't access the data that you're giving it like they can with ChatGPT. So with a lot of companies that I'm consulting for, a lot of corporations I'm consulting for right now, we're moving them away from ChatGPT and we're moving them towards some of these privater, more private, I don't know if private is a term, but more private, more secure platform, AI platforms. That way nobody can access the information they're giving it. So that's my recommendation, is just make sure you know what platforms you're getting into. And what's really powerful is within our community, we do vetting. So we'll say, you know, we've vetted this platform, we've read the terms and conditions, we think this is a safe AI platform and it's a good actor. In other words, it's not using your data for anything negatively or unethically. And so either have someone that's doing that for you, we have our community, or do that for yourself. Like, you just want to make sure that you're using a secure platform and not something that you're going to kind of bite yourself later for using.
That is such good information, because I know a lot of people are using ChatGPT, and, you know, if they put their proprietary nonprofit in there, that's really good. And I have used the Magi that Sean recommends, and it is amazing. So Sean, how do we use AI? And Amy had this question of how do we use AI and hold our integrity? Because yeah, she feels that in using AI, she compromises her integrity somewhat.
Yeah. You know, obviously I would need a little bit more context to hear a little bit of how she feels it's, you know, crossing any boundaries of integrity. What I've typically heard, though, and I hope this answers your question, Amy, is that I want it to be authentic. I want it to be me. And I don't want to lie to people about how I'm creating this content. So there's a couple of different ways that we inform our audience that we're leveraging these tools. One way is by just informing our audience that we're leveraging these tools. In other words, when I use AI to write a blog, for example, at the very end, I'll write "written with support of Magi, an AI system, written with support of ChatGPT." That way, we are letting people know we're using these platforms, but it's supporting us. It's not replacing us. I think that's number one. I think the other thing that you can do is you can make sure that, again, you're not just copy pasting whatever the AI platform gives you, but you are using it as a stepping stool. You're saying, okay, give me a 7 out of 10. I'm going to a 10 out of 10. And I know this is me because I took it to that next level. And I think that's important, is recognizing that you are still a required, necessary element to be human. The other thing I would say is that when it comes to integrity, you want to recognize whether it is an integrity issue or whether it's a fear issue. And I see that confused a lot or conflated a lot of, oh, I want to honor my integrity, but what they're really doing is they're afraid of using the tool, or they're afraid of the unknown, or they're afraid of something new, and they're using their integrity as kind of a like a mask, if you will, of, well, it's my integrity, but really it's fear. And I'm not saying that's true for Amy or anyone listening to this. I've seen that with a couple of my clients, and my recommendation is that, again, we're not called to live in a space of fear, and we're not called to live in a place of being uninformed. I think we have brains that we've been given to learn, to grow, to lean in. If you feel like something's sleazy or like icky or weird, then likely you're doing something wrong. Acknowledge that as a sign, not a, recognize as that as a caution sign, not a stop sign. And what I mean by that is oftentimes people will say, well, no, that's sleazy, and so I'm not going to do that. I get that a lot when I'm teaching sales, is I don't want to be sleazy, so I'm not going to go into sales. And there's a really fun way to sell. There's a joyful way to sell. There's a way to sell that's heart-centered, that's integrity-based. And so it's not stop sign, stop selling. It's a, hey, here's a cautious sign. Something might be off. Let's figure out what it is. And instead of judging yourself or judging it, be curious about it and give it grace and say, hey, you know what? There's a little bit of fear here. Where's that fear coming from? And kind of explore it and be curious about it, because more curiosity you give it, the more grace you give yourself as well. So I hope that answers Amy's question.
That is awesome. And I know that I have put some things into ChatGPT and it has told me some things totally off. For Christian Racketeers, it tells us that we are a rocket building organization that helps build these incredible field rockets in the Christian sector. I'm like, okay. Yeah, we do rocket, but not in that way. And I don't have any engineering experience. So it just made me laugh that one day because I was like, okay, yeah. But
that's funny. You know,
yeah, it made me laugh. I mean, God knew I needed a laugh that day. So it was awesome. But it was too, it was for me, it was that reminder of, you know, okay, I need to give it a little more information. I need to tell it a little bit more what I do and how I do it. And then it actually got it spot on and a little tweaking. Best email sent out yet. So we are so proof good. That you can use AI to impact and influence your world. So someone's getting started with AI, Sean. Where do they want to start? I'm going to say obviously the AI roundtable, because that's where you teach, train, and help so many business leaders. What do you say?
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm a fan of the AI roundtable. It's a community that we started because we started seeing a lot of people have questions. And I've been playing in the AI space for about 2 years. And there was a lot of fear. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of I want to use it. I just don't know how to maximize it. There's a lot of people who played with it. It didn't give them what they wanted. So they quit on it. And so they've like used it once or twice, but they're like, yeah, that's not going to help me. And so we created this community to really help train people and inform people of how to use AI to create and support the work you're about. So what we do is we meet once a month. It's just once a month because we work with a lot of busy entrepreneurs and busy nonprofit owners and CEOs. So we meet for once a month for 2 hours. I do a quick training, a 30-minute training, and then we spend the majority of the time actually using the platforms. So I'll say, okay, go into ChatGPT now, and like, here's the prompt to give it. Here's what we're creating. Here's how to get more leads. Here's how to get more sales. Here's how to get more people on your email list, specifically using AI. And what we really want to do is use AI to build sales systems, because a lot of people are creating content, but I actually don't think you need to create more and more and more and more content, right? More is just more content, and it's not, you know, necessarily helpful or useful. What we want you to do is use strategic creation. Be strategic about what you're doing, which means you don't have to do more. You actually do less because there's more power in what you're doing. And so we meet for now 2 hours, we do training, and then we use the software. And by the end of the 2 hours, you're leaving with assets that you can either post on social, post on your blog, use in your emails, et cetera, which is really cool. We also vet the AI platforms that we're using. Like I mentioned before, we spend time reading terms and conditions, privacy policies, making sure that we understand, hey, this is a safe AI platform. So a lot of people don't have time to do that. We do that for you. And we say, okay, here's the safe ones to use. And we stay up to date with it. So AI platforms like ChatGPT is changing all the time. And so we stay up to date with it. So you don't have to do that effort and work as well. And then we have a Facebook community where you can ask questions and, you know, we're available and the community is available to answer those questions for you as well.
Yeah, it's truly incredible. And one thing I'll tell you is I've heard many of you tell me I struggle with making my nonprofit website. Sean has an AI that will actually generate for you within seconds the perfect nonprofit website. I tested it. I was like, all right, I'm going to see if this, you know, as a designer, I was like, all right, I want to see if this actually could replicate what I would do as a designer. It really did. And it was spot on. So for those of you who struggle with that, there is that AI as well.
Here's what's cool too. Like a lot of people get tripped up on like the tech side of stuff. So I want to build a website, but I don't know WordPress or Squarespace or Wix. It's too hard. Well, you can literally put together with this AI in seconds, just telling it a little bit of information about your nonprofit, and it builds it for you. It designs it for you. It creates graphics for you. It does the whole thing in a matter. I think it's like 90 seconds or less is their promise. Is you get a full website in 90 seconds or less, which is really powerful. We've actually had a couple clients create their website and use it. And that's like their website now, which is really amazing. Here's the cool thing about the AI roundtable is we wanted to make it as affordable as possible. There are people charging outrageous prices. It's literally $47 a month. So we're going to be raising that price just a little bit, but because you are listening to the amazing Christian Racketeers podcast, you can join at $47 a month, cancel anytime, get the support you need, and get out and do the work that you're called to do.
Yeah, and I will tell you, it is truly incredible. And I was actually able to build, I don't have a Florida-based nonprofit, but from that, I would have had an amazing Florida-based nonprofit with just a few prompts. I was like, okay, I haven't shared it with you. I mean, it was incredible to me that, I mean, it told me exactly what I would need to do as my personality type, exactly what, you know, the area that we live in, you know, here. And what the need was, I was amazed, Sean, at how it niched down and really, really helped to know what was needed. So that was so cool. So I definitely recommend that you connect with Sean. The AI Roundtable is so incredible. It is a great community of people that support one another and share ideas. And when anybody has something new, they bring it to Sean and then he brings it to us. And it's so, so cool. So, all right, Sean, so they can connect with you. I have your website here.
So the website will be heyseanq.com, and the AI Roundtable is simply /AI. So you'll just add AI to the end of that.
Awesome. And you can connect with Sean. Sean is on Facebook. So we hope you have enjoyed this incredible conversation about AI, and I hope you will embrace this incredible tool that God has given you to increase your nonprofit impact in this season. You are called to do amazing things in this world. Those around you are called to do amazing things in this world, and it's time to get to work. The harvest is plentiful, labors are few. Let's get busy. We'll see you again next time on the Christian Marketeers Podcast. Have a great week.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a rising star lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine. And I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya. The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others. So I left my law to begin my own business. I founded 2 nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit, Ministry to Thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits.
Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.